Production. Recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 73 of the Geocaching Podcast for this, the 9th of September, 2008. We are going to be talking tonight about letterboxing. If you choose to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525, like always. Go ahead and join our live chat room, too, and you can participate with our other listeners that are live, and they can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now to Participate button on the right, and you'll be in our chat room with everybody else. We also have a voicemail line, and that number is 206-350-3GPS. And we can also be found on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. And once again, all of you who are live here, I see that you remembered that we have switched recently our time to 9:30 as opposed to 9. So good to see you guys here. As my co-host tonight, again, I have Daryl W4 and Montu. Welcome, guys, to the show.
Hey, welcome back. It's good to be on once again.
It is good to be on. 2 weeks in a row, it's good now.
We're starting a record.
We are.
Well, you know, it's been a good weekend for us around here. We actually had a chance to do a Where I Go cache, which was a cool little photo hunt. Waypoint for that one was GC1FXPB, and we did that with our friends Team Legend 4 on Friday night. It was a weird one where you had just the photos, had to find those locations, drive to them, and then it would tick them off, and once you got all five of the images, then it would take you to the final location. So that was cool, because that was our first Where I Go cache. But I also did get a chance to do two more caches in a city called Maybe, Michigan. M-A-Y-B-E-E.
Michigan, it might not be.
Yeah, well, they do have some fun playing with that, but we were actually out there on a little bit of a photo expedition, so I've just posted the link in the show notes and to the chat room if anyone wants to check those out. You know, we were just kind of running around having a blast. And the rest of the weekend, we just spent prepping Cache-O-Maniac's coins and getting those out. They're finally here, and we shipped out all of the pre-orders. We got all of the guest coins out except for a couple of them where their shows haven't aired, so we're waiting to send those with the CDs, and reopen some pre-orders. So if anyone has not ordered coins and wants to wants to wait, you can still wait. But we have opened the pre-orders, and the link's on the Cache-O-Maniac's website if you want to check that out.
Now,
Montu,
now,
what were you up to? Oh,
Daryl,
okay. Sorry.
You guys in Michigan get all the fun names of cities. Maybe Michigan. Don't you guys have a Hell Michigan too?
And a Paradise.
And a Paradise. You guys get all the fun names.
Yeah, there's plenty of those around, and you know, a lot of Indian names that you can't pronounce. Some French names, like Detroit.
Well, yeah, you guys have all fun names. So, anyway, sorry for interrupting you. Montu, how have you been?
Well, we've been pretty good, and we've actually got a couple of fun towns down here between Hollywood, Florida, Holiday, Florida, and Christmas, Florida, just to name a few. Worked with the youth group this weekend, teaching them some basic camping skills before we go on our first camping trip of the year, which will be early October. But had a nice surprise. They had a group of cachers that went after Excalibur and completed it all in one day on this past Sunday. Congratulations to them. They all posted some great logs to the listing and some truly fantastic photos as well. Putting the link to that in the show notes and in the chat right now for all to enjoy. But they really seem to have a very good time with going out there on the cache, which as a cache owner, that's one of the things I always look forward to is reading some of the logs that come in from those. And one of them actually posted such a long log, they had to put it in its two posts. So what have you been up to, Andy?
Well, today or this past week, actually this is my second week at the help desk job, and let me just say, it's really, really crazy. I've never been part of a help desk that's this big. As soon as I hang up a phone, I get another call. But it's good. It keeps me busy, and it's a job, and I'm back in IT again. So I really haven't had a whole lot of chance to go caching. We're planning a caching trip here soon. But speaking of weird names, we in Indiana have some pretty fun ones, too. We've got Santa Claus, Indiana, and we've also got Mexico, Indiana. So those are some fun ones, too. So really nothing geocache-related to me. I'm glad it's kind of cooling down a little bit here. It's not so hot, but still it's not chilly. So caching is actually really, really pleasant, and it's great to get out, chance to walk in the woods and do those fun stuff like that. So, yeah, that's pretty much it's been on my end here. Hey, Montu, I see we've got some items here in the news. Do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about those?
I'd be happy to, and that's correct. We do have some great news. GSAC 7.2.3 is now available for download with several new features and fixes, including they've added several new functions, added a SQL database engine, recalc of the distance when location is changed, and it is your current center point. File to print, where I go icon now shows correctly in the column print, and added better error checking to the macro command show status. So I hear our topic for tonight's letterboxing. What's that all about, Andy?
It is letterboxing, and you know what? It's something that there is a letterbox geocache. I don't know if anyone who's seen that or not before. It's related to geocaching. It has some similarities and a lot of differences. We are going to talk about those similarities and differences tonight and kind of explain a little bit more about letterboxing. But from geocaching.com, for their what they call a letterbox hybrid, it's basically another form of treasure hunting, and it uses clues instead of coordinates. So instead of getting your coordinates to go right to the box, you get clues. However, a letterbox has coordinates. It can have coordinates in some cases, and the owner sometimes has made it a letterbox and a geocache, which is where the letterbox geocache hybrid comes in into play. Now, to read a little bit more about letterboxing, we're just going to briefly touch on it tonight. There's a whole slew of things that you can learn. In North America, there's a website, Letterboxing North America, and we will go ahead and put that in our website show notes, but it's letterboxing.org. So if you want to check out that and see more of the rules and the stuff that we're going to touch tonight, go ahead and hit that letterboxing.org. Montu, can you tell us a little bit more about what letterboxing is?
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to. Letterboxing is an intriguing mix of treasure hunting, art, navigation, and exploring interesting scenic and sometimes remote places. It takes the ancient custom of placing a rock on a cairn upon reaching the summit of a mountain to an art form. It started when a gentleman simply left his calling card in a bottle by a remote pool on the moors of Dartmoor in England. Daryl, I hear you've got more about this?
Yeah, it's very much like geocaching as far as the hides themselves go. Someone goes, hides a waterproof box somewhere. They tend to get a little bit more into the beautiful, interesting places and certainly don't have the micro caches that we have. So it can be a little bit more interesting in that regards as far as the hides go. But one of the big things is that you have to have a logbook and a carved rubber stamp. The other swag items are kind of optional, but the whole thing with the letterboxing are those stamps and the logbook. Now, the hider will usually write the directions, obviously, called clues or the map, which can be either straightforward, cryptic, degrees. Sometimes they get into coordinates. But typically, they don't like the coordinates. They like the clues and the stories. So the clues often involve map coordinates, but not always, and sometimes include some compass bearings from landmarks, but they don't necessarily have to. Most of the ones that I've looked at it's strictly a story, and it gives you a location to start at, and you have to follow the story along and look for things. Once the clues are written, though, the hunters go and look for those clues and try to find the box. Sometimes it's easier than others, so we've actually happened to stumble on a couple of those without even looking for them. You know, as geocachers, finding the boxes is pretty easy. And then you'll have some additional stuff sometimes, clues, maps, whatever, that you might have to download and print. But it's usually fairly straightforward. Just make sure that you have your pen or pencil. As a letterboxer, you'll need a personalized rubber stamp. You could probably go and grab one off the shelf from one of the stores if you wanted to get started that way. But you'll also need the ink pad and a logbook. Now, that logbook should be big enough to handle about a 2.5 by 2.5 inch stamp, because that's the typical limit for most of the letterboxing stamps, because, you know, after all, these do have to fit into those essentially cash boxes as well. So once you find it, you take you stamp your stamp into the logbook that's in the box, and you'll take the stamp out of the logbook and mark it on your personal logbook. And that's how you validate that you were there, and how you can show other people that you were there, because you have that stamp and your stamp is in that logbook. So that's about all there is to letterboxing. And you just got to make sure to keep the stamps around. But it's essentially like a lower tech version of geocaching, kind of more on the lines of story problems or the unknown caches. But those stamps are hand-carved, typically, not always, but typically they're hand-carved and personally designed by the stamp owner, or something that's kind of unique to the stamp owner, to the finder. Now, X-Punk X, you want to give us an example of a letterbox?
Sure. First, what you were speaking of, the way that you keep your own logbook and you keep logbook there, it reminded me of when I've traveled to different countries. I've got my passport, and when I go through into the country, they stamp my passport. It's kind of like that. I think I would think of it like that. When you go to this letterbox, you get to stamp the stamp of that letterbox in your personal passport, if you will. And then
yeah, a lot of the fairs have done that too, like state fairs and whatnot. So yeah, especially for the kids, they like collecting those stamps.
Well, and it's a good thing too, because from what I hear, most letterboxers too, or a lot of letterboxers, kind of like to keep more mysterious about who they are behind the stamp. There are some geocachers who do that, but attending meeting, events and stuff, it's a little bit harder to stay mysterious like that. So, but sure, and another good thing that I've noticed too about the letterboxing is it's not so dense as caching is. When I was looking last night, there's only, I think, one within my city. There's a few around, but one within my city. So they're not quite so dense. So it'd be a good thing if cachers want to take a little bit of time off from the normal loaded into the GPS and go. So here's the one that's actually right in my town. The clues are, it says, enjoy a lovely river walk at the Millrace Park of West Plymouth Avenue, just west of State Road 15. Park in the parking lot and follow the river path. At the old red footbridge, turn right down an unpaved road. At the T in the path, turn left. When you see the white house in the distance, turn left on the small path at edge of Pine Woods. Take this path back, back, back. It'll eventually curve right, running parallel to the river path. And it says it may not be so easy to see that in the summertime. But after you cross the big dip in the path, count 10 paces, look straight down the path to the T of 3, and then it also gives the 220 degrees compass reading. Treasure is on the backside of Tree of 3. And then it goes away to exit the trail. You can exit the same way back, or you could take a different way and come back. So It's really more of, like Daryl said, it's more following directions than it is just following your arrow. So the one bad thing that I could see as far as letterboxing goes, though, is the fact that if the landscape had changed, like, say, if that dip in the path, if they would have paved over that, that dip in the path would not be there. So you'd have to kind of grab other clues, or the cash owner, or not cash owner, the letterbox owner would have to go back out and change the clues. There are a few warnings for geocachers. Mantu, what are those warnings?
Well, first off, it is important as geocachers to remember that letterbox caches use the stamps in their containers as an integral part of the game. Do not ever remove these stamps. This is also another good reason to carry a stamp for geocaching, though. You can participate in a letterbox hybrid more like a letterboxer. Daryl?
Another thing that you want to look for is that these letterbox hybrids that are listed on geocaching.com are supposed to have the final coordinates listed in the hints, but they don't always have that option. So you might not be able to use that final coordinate like we're accustomed to. And in finding it, like Andy was mentioning earlier, some of the relevant landmarks and information can change. You know, the landscape will change over time. And we actually hit one of those caches, I want to say about a year ago, that had been placed several years earlier with no cords in the hint. He actually said, you know, I had tried to get cords, but I couldn't because the tree cover was too dense. So, you know, sorry. And as we tried to follow his story along, which was a cool, fun story, we found the landscape had changed so much that some of the turns that we were taking weren't the turns that we were supposed to because, you know, these little sapling trees had turned into big trees, for instance. So it can be a little bit tough. It took us over an hour to find that cache, but it was a little bit fun and frustrating at the same time. I'd try to give those story caches a try. You know, let it work its course, even if you do have that final cheat of the coordinates, because it can be a lot of fun.
I want to remind people, too, that, and Geek Boy brought this up in our chat, that a lot of times when following the story for the letterbox, they'll say, you know, so many paces, like 20 paces. And a pace refers to 2 footfalls, one left foot and one right foot. So it's one full stride. And also, stride length can be important, too. It can be an issue, because if you have a large number of paces, like, say, 200 or 300 paces, depending how big your footsteps are, you can end up quite a distance away from where the actual letterbox is at. So, sorry to interrupt you, Daryl. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, the Where I Go cache that I did this weekend kind of reminded me that, you know, there's a lot of aspects to that Where I Go that seem like they'd make a high-tech letterbox. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Where I Go is a natural upgrade to the high-tech letterbox. The Where I Go cartridge will provide a more stable information based on the GPS-provided location, but it also allows that real-world storytelling and problem-solving that letterboxers find so cool. This will eliminate much of that trouble with changes in the landscape that Daryl ran into with that letterbox hybrid, and also the stride length that Geek Boy had just brought up. It also gives a hider a new palette to work for, including extra requirements, like stopping somewhere to virtually pick up a potion or some other sort of something, you know, a key or something that they had put into their cartridge. So really, Where I Go is an upgraded version of letterboxing and a combination of geocaching. So with that, like I said, go ahead. We just barely scratched the surface tonight on letterboxing. Letterboxing has been around for a very, very, very long time because it's something that we don't need to rely on technology besides compasses. So one thing, you're going to want to brush up on your compass, reading how to read your compass if you don't remember how to do that. So if you need to take a class, there's many things online as far as how to read compass. Like I said, you know, remember too that you have to have that stamp. You may not, you know, as geocachers, we won't remember that because sometimes it's hard enough for me to remember to bring a pen to a cache, to a micro cache, let alone a stamp. So make sure to remember to bring your stamp. And one thing I think is cool about it is it's a stamp. It's a personal SIG item, and you get a chance to make it yourself. And it's not expensive like coins. So with that, if no one else has any other thing to put in, if you do, go ahead and give us a call at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. If you're listening to this as a recorded podcast, we'd love to have your information on letterboxing. If you've done this before, if you've had any tips and tricks that we did not mention in the show today, give us a call, 206-350-3GPS. We'd love to see, you know, your information on that. So, and Monty points out again, his Excalibur cache, they could brush up on their compass skills with his Excalibur cache. And from what I hear, that's a pretty big cache to do, and it takes a lot of compass skills. So with that, we join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the TalkShoe service. Our topic for next week is going to be sharing the finds using Twitter, Udders, video, photography, and more with geocaching. You can call in our show live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525, or go ahead and sign on to TalkShoe.com. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info, and again, our voicemail number is 206-350-3GPS. You can call it anytime, and you can leave us a voicemail, and we would love to hear from you. So with that, have a good week, guys. We'll see you next Tuesday, and join us live in the chat room.